Good morning. It's good to worship with you here in person and also online. So, how much do you really know about the God of the Bible? What aspect of this God do you tend to focus on more often than not? And why is that the case? You know, the gods that we human beings invent, they focus on demands. And while the God of the Bible also has demands, let us not forget what he also has us focus on and what he has in store for us, as we're reminded of once again in our worship today. So let's get to it. I invite your attention to page 3 of our worship bulletin with the invocation. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth.
Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs.
Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his.
We are his people, the sheep of his pasture.
Enter his gates with thanksgiving, and his courts with praise.
Give thanks to him and praise his name.
For the Lord is good. And his love endures forever.
His faithfulness continues for all generations.
Teach me, O Lord, to follow your decrees. Then I will keep them to the end.
Give me understanding, and I will keep your law and obey it with all my heart.
Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth.
Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him.
Please stand. We have come into the presence of God, who created us to love and serve him as his dear children. Jesus has said, as recorded in Matthew 22,
"Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind."
This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it.
Love your neighbor.
But we have disobeyed him and deserve only his wrath and punishment. Therefore, let us confess our sins to him and plead for his mercy.
Merciful Father in heaven, I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways,
God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven all your sins. By the perfect life and innocent death of our Lord Jesus Christ, he has removed your guilt forever. You are his own dear child. May God give you strength to live according to his will.
Thanks be to God.
In the peace of forgiveness, let us praise the Lord. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, give us an increase of faith, hope, and love, and that we may obtain what you promise, make us love what you command.
Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Please be seated.
Did his people know that a cloud of smoke would safely lead them home?
Sometimes God will speak through a bush of flames or pillars in the sky, but at times his silence
fills our days, leaving us to wonder why.
Sometimes we wait simply to find. Sometimes his answers come with time, not right away, clearly to see. Sometimes we never get those parted seas that lead us from the shore.
But there is a place
where we rest in his grace
whenever we wait on the Lord.
If I had my way, there would come a day with a never-ending dawn.
No more mournful sighs in the dark of night as I wonder where he's gone.
I would never see
to find. Sometimes his answers come with time, not right away, clearly to see. Sometimes we never get those parted seas that lead us from the shore.
But there is a place
where we rest in His grace whenever we wait on the Lord. Sometimes we wait simply to find. Sometimes His answers come with time, not right away, clearly to see. Sometimes we in His grace whenever we wait on the Lord. Oh, there is a place where we rest in His grace whenever we wait on the
On this last Sunday in August and Sunday after Pentecost, a reading from Holy Scripture, the book of Exodus, the 34th chapter, God is clear regarding His identity and what is included with this identity. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and stood there with Him and proclaimed His name, the Lord. And He passed in front of Moses, proclaiming, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. Yet He does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children and their children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation. Moses bowed to the ground at once and worshiped. Lord, he said, if I have found favor in your eyes, then let the Lord go with us. Although this is a stiff-necked people, forgive our wickedness and our sin, and take us as your inheritance. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We join together in our response, Psalm 30.
Thank you.
Talk about grace and no hoops to jump through. Call on the name of Jesus and salvation is yours. A reading from Holy Scripture, Romans 10. Moses writes us about the righteousness that is by the law. The person who does these things will live by them. But the righteousness that is by faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is, to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the deep, that is, to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the message concerning faith that we proclaim. If you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. As Scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all, and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. The word of the Lord. Please stand for the Gospel reading. Our reading from Holy Scripture, the Gospel of St. Matthew, the 16th chapter. Simply this, Jesus is the key to heaven. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? They replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah or one of the prophets. But what about you? He asked. Who do you say I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Then he ordered his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. This is the word of the Lord.
Praise be to you, O Christ.
Please be seated as we now turn to our hymn of the day.
Thank you.
Grace, mercy, and peace are yours, thankfully, in great abundance, and this is from God our Father, through our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we continue our focus on the Scriptures this morning, turning back to these words of Exodus 34. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and stood before there with him and proclaimed his name, the Lord. This is God's word, we pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. When you have been asked to talk about your faith, and more specifically to talk about the God that you claim to worship and follow, how have you responded to such a request? And if you haven't been asked that question as of yet, in preparation for that question to come, for Peter reminds us, always be ready to give the reason for the hope that we have. How do you plan to respond to someone who asks you about your faith, and in particular about the God you claim to worship and follow? Well, some of the answers that we could come up with in talking about God in relation to our faith, we could say that God is amazing, and then elaborate what we mean by calling God amazing, giving some examples of how amazing God is in your own life or in the life of all people of this world. We could also go into a description of how God is wise, and then point to the creation all around us as evidence of how wise our God is. This is in line with what the psalmist said. The heavens declare the glory of God. I mean, he is all around us, the evidence. This all didn't just come about by closing our eyes and snapping our fingers. This all came about by God's own powerful word, which is then another description that you could go into about God, which your faith is rooted in. How powerful his word is. Well, we could also talk about how God is, he's a serious God. And you don't want to end up on his bad side. And then explain what we mean by that. Or we could simply use the words before us. As God describes himself and had Moses recorded down for all time about who he is and what he is like. And so as we take another look at these words before us from Exodus 34, how the Lord describes himself, his identity, and what's included in that identity, we have a thank you to make. Give thanks that this is our God. That this is our God who is perfectly just and merciful. And as such, then, give thanks that this God alone is to be worshipped. God, our God, by grace, is perfectly just. And he has to be. You caught how Moses described the children of Israel, and he's not just describing the children of Israel with that term, right? I mean, he could be describing you and me and all people of all time with that term, stiff-necked. What's meant by the word stiff-necked? You are a stiff-necked people. Well, it has multiple meanings, and then really not all positive. Haughty, people full of self-pride. You know anyone like that? Stubborn. Do you know anybody who's stubborn? Set in their ways. I mean, we by nature, aren't we stubborn? We're set in our ways. I mean, our hands, our fists are closed to God by nature. And how many people still are walking around with clenched fists? Maybe even shaking those fists toward God. in their stubbornness. It also has the definition, the implication of opinionated. Does that fit anybody you know? Even when you're not asked for your opinion, do you tend to give it? In a conversation you're not even a part of? And you think you know how to do everybody else's job better, so you have an opinion on that too. It's kind of like being the backseat driver. 20/20 hindsight. If the quarterback would only have done that. Have you ever been a quarterback with 300-pound linemen, multiple linemen chasing after you? If he just would have ducked or thrown the ball quicker. We tend to have an opinion on everything. And doesn't that fit the children of Israel well? They were haughty, full of self-pride. They were stubborn. They were opinionated, telling God what he should do. But let's not forget to look at ourselves as being stiff-necked as well. So God is just. The children of Israel were also stiff-necked and deserving of God's justice. Think of the various gods that they came up with while they were in Egypt, and when they left Egypt and on the journey to the earthly promised land, and once they were in the earthly promised land, the gods that they came up with. Think of the gods that we come up with. Pride, ourselves, money, possessions, fame. How many have idols in their homes? And some of this applies to us. Some of it applies to the people of the world. But God's justice applies to each and every one of us, because no one is deserving of his grace and mercy, but rather his perfect justice. And so God says, you know, I am in a position and I am willing to forgive what the world commits. Wickedness, rebellion, and sin. I mean, a stiff neck were not enough of a description, but the wickedness that we commit, in other words, the offenses that we cause, the hurt that we intentionally cause people, or maybe unintentionally, but we're just kind of flippant in our words, not realizing who's around us or being sensitive to what they're going through, and so we offer up flippant comments. That's part of the wickedness. Or the rebellion. I mean, God has his standards here, right? The bar. And rebellion is failing to measure up to those standards. I'm not going to follow them. I'm going to go my own way, which goes back to being stiff-necked. And sin. Literally missing the mark. We need to get an A+ every time in our thoughts and in our words and our actions. Does anyone want to stand up and admit that they get an A+ 24/7? None of us can. And so are any of us deserving of God's mercy? No. For we are stiff-necked, full of wickedness, rebellion, and sin. And because of that, then the Lord reminds us that there are consequences to sin. There are immediate consequences that impact us, that impact the world, and there are lingering consequences that can impact generations to come. I mean, God has said that we are to take care of the earth, but if we don't take care of it, then that does have consequences that go beyond us. Those consequences do serve as wake-up calls. God is constantly throwing wake-up calls in front of us. Disease, riots, death, destruction, natural or by human hands. All part of God's justice, that sin cannot be tolerated, because if sin is tolerated, what happens? More sin. And I think our society is learning that, or should be learning that, more and more. When you just let everybody do what they want to do, it doesn't create a calm environment. It creates the opposite. And so we pray for God's perfect justice. Because part of that justice is correction, is discipline. As he sends those wake-up calls, he also sends answers to help us deal with the consequences of sin, our sin and the sin that others have committed, going all the way back even to Adam and Eve and their sin. If God would not intervene, where would we be? In a bigger heap of trouble. So give thanks for this God, the God of perfect justice, who does not tolerate sin in his sight, who has consequences for sin now and if people fail to heed his discipline for all eternity. But at the same time, give thanks for this God who not only is perfectly just, but he's perfectly merciful. I mean, would you describe yourself as someone who can be just and merciful at the same time? Sometimes this is what's hard to comprehend about our God, the God of the Bible, the God of all creation, how he can be just and merciful, how he can hate and love at the same time, because that's difficult for us to do. But thankfully, he is able to be just and merciful. And what has he done then in his mercy? He sent the only solution that would work for our stiff neck ability, time and time again, and wickedness, rebellion, and sin. He sent his Son to be our Savior. What other God does this? I mean, the gods that we human beings invent, where do they put the emphasis? On what we have to do to appease an angry God. I mean, they'll recognize that there is sin and that we need to appease the gods, but the solution is way off base. It only adds more guilt. Think of how many religions in the world add guilt upon guilt. It doesn't matter what underwear you wear. It doesn't matter how many doors you knock on. It doesn't matter how many good works you do. None of what we do is going to appease a holy God. And so the holy God has done what was necessary to be appeased in sending his Son. And he says, there are no hoops you have to jump through. It's not, you know, I'll give you forgiveness if only you run around the track 10 times and you have that bracelet on your arm that you twirl around 6 more times. And then maybe if you give a sizable donation of the church, you can be forgiven. How many people fall for that day after day still? Running around the track, twirling a bracelet, trying to buy their way into God's favor. When Jesus says, call on me, and salvation is yours. And when we call on the name of the Lord, what comes with that? The forgiveness that he won for us through the cross. It's already there. And thankfully, and through the work of the Spirit using the gospel and word and sacrament, he connects us to what's already there, the forgiveness that Jesus won for us by way of the cross. Forgiving all of our wickedness and rebellion and sin, turning us from being stiff-necked people into God, thankful people. Give thanks for this God and his Son and the cross he died on. Notice, too, it's very significant, right? That how God introduces himself with the name the Lord, Yahweh, the unchangeable God, the eternal God, the God of grace, the God who is faithful to his promises and his covenants. And then he goes on to list these attributes, 7 attributes, which testify to who he is and what he is like. I mean, attributes in a way that we should be but cannot be because of our imperfection. And so give thanks to this for this God who is. He is compassionate. We have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet was without sin. He knows what we're going through. He is compassionate. And we ought to be compassionate, especially to people who are down and out. Thankfully, if we're not down and out or haven't been, and it's hard to put ourselves in those people's shoes, maybe just for a moment try Instead of looking down on people, be compassionate as God is compassionate toward us. And gracious. God is looking to have a relationship with us, and He did what was necessary to have that relationship. He sent His Son to be our Savior and gives the Holy Spirit working through the means of grace to bring us into His family. He is gracious, not because we have done anything, but because of who He is. And He's slow to anger. Does that describe you? God is patient on steroids. Some of us would like God to be quicker on the draw, like James and John. Nail him now, Lord! Nail him now! But you know what you're saying by that? They sin, Lord, nail them. Ooh, I sinned. I should be nailed too. Give thanks for this God who is slow to anger with each and every one of us, not treating us as our sins deserve, but the opposite. God is just. He will deal with people and situations in His own time, and He does, and He will. And so let us not think that we know more than God and give Him our opinion that He should strike people down now when He wants all people to come to a knowledge of the truth and be saved. He's abounding in love. He doesn't have just a little love. He's got huge heaps of love. And not just for a few people. Not just for those He likes. Not just for those who are good to Him, who butter up to Him. No, He has love for all people. He sends rain on the just and the unjust. That's that maintaining love to thousands and that forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. He is faithful. Again, He keeps His word and His promises. He's not fickle. And so thank God that He is not human, but that He is God. And not just any God. The God who is perfectly just and merciful. And this God then alone is to be worshipped. This is the God who takes care of us because He cares. He led the children of Israel because He cares out of earthly bondage and gave them the earthly promised land, which was connected to an even bigger promise. The promise of a Savior and eternal life in heaven. And He has brought us out of bondage as well. Enslaved and entrapped in our sins. And through the cross has freed us from those sins so that we no longer live for ourselves, but rather for Him who died and rose again for us. Talk about true freedom. That's what God gives to us because He cares. And so we are to worship this God, because there is no other God who does this, this God alone, to honor Him in response through our worship, to really get to know Him. I mean, so how well do we really know our God? Superficial level? A little deeper than that? Oh, we could recite the first five books of the Bible, but after that, eh. Is it Job or Job? Shouldn't we as believers know that by now? How well do we know our God? Worship provides an opportunity to get to know Him better. And not just worship on Sunday, but worship as we do Bible study in a group setting or individual setting. And as we do that, Moses sets a good example for us. Because what did Moses display as the Lord was talking to him? He displayed humility. Lord, forgive me and forgive Your people. So with that Bible reading comes humility and a prayer that God will forgive our sins and increase our knowledge of Him. And then we honor God and worship Him through our actions toward others, taking things in the kindest possible way, as God tells us in the eighth commandment to do. I read recently that pessimism far outweighs optimism. When someone says, you know what, the sun is going to shine tomorrow, we're going to think that person's crazy. But when someone says, we're going to get a fierce storm tomorrow, and the earth is going to fall into the sea, big headlines, and we all panic. We're pessimists by nature, so we struggle with optimism. And we struggle with taking things in the kindest possible way, because by nature, we think the worst. And how many mountains out of molehills have been made because we took things not in the kindest possible way? In other words, treat people as you want to be treated. God gives us some example: abounding in love, forgiving, faithful, compassionate, gracious, slow to anger. All of us, self included, have a lot to work on when it comes to putting such into practice. God help us do just that. And so our prayer is not just for that, but our prayer is that we remain with God and that we worship Him aright as He deserves to be worshiped. Give thanks, and that this is our God. And as we give thanks for that, continue to be on the lookout on how we can share this God with others so that they too can get away from the gods which are not gods and not good for them, but rather worship this God who is perfectly just and merciful and who alone is to be worshipped for time and eternity. Give thanks for this God who calls you His own. Amen. Please stand. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We now join together in singing our confession of faith, the hymn on page 9, "We All Believe in One True God." Please be seated. We pray. Lord, our Maker and Preserver, we praise and thank You for all that You give us each day.
We are not worthy of all the mercy You show us.
You have given us Your precious Word to nourish our souls and to protect us from the temptations of the devil, the world, and our sinful nature.
We thank You.
Heavenly Father, we pray that You shield us from every kind of danger, sudden catastrophe, terrors of crime, and the pain of disease. Watch over those who travel by land, sea, and air. Keep our loved ones for whatever perils may threaten them.
Heal those who are sick, cheer those who are sad, calm those who are distressed, and comfort all who are old and infirm.
Bless our land, our people, and those who hold offices of high trust. Keep our government and schools upright and strong for the advancement of good citizenship and useful vocations, that we may enjoy your gifts of peace, security, and well-being.
Grant us blessings to every nation on earth. Where there are wars, may there be peace.
Where there is hatred, let it be healed. Where there is poverty, danger, or disaster, come with your almighty power to help and restore. Lord of glory, you have bought us with your lifeblood as the price, never grudging for the lost ones that tremendous sacrifice. Give us faith to trust you boldly, hope to stay our souls on you. But, O best of all your graces, with your love our love renew. Birthdays are another reminder of your grace, O Lord, as you are the giver of life, physical and spiritual. For those among us privileged to celebrate another year of grace, continue to open their eyes to the blessings you have given and will put into their life, that they may reflect glory and praise back to you. Renew the love between husbands and wives, especially those among us celebrating their wedding anniversary. May we, their friends and family, continue to support them in their marriage, living life in your ways. And Lord, we ask that you refresh the bodies and minds of Martha Kohler and Pam Drennan as they undergo medical procedures this coming week. Not only refresh their bodies as you will for them, above all, continue to refresh their minds and hearts with the reminder that these health challenges do not change their status with you through Jesus. Hear us, Lord, now as we bring you our private petitions. We bring these requests before you in the name of Jesus our Lord and ask you to hear us. Take all that we have, our bodies and minds, our time and skills, our ministries and offerings, and use them to your glory.
We give ourselves to you that we may serve you in whatever way is pleasing in your sight. Amen.
We also pray,
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Thank you.
We pray. O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, pour out the Holy Spirit on your faithful people. Keep us strong in your grace and truth. Protect and comfort us in all temptation, and bestow on us your saving peace. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, go in peace. Live in harmony with one another. Serve the Lord with gladness. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Morning again. Bible study taking place here in the church proper, looking at the book of Matthew, chapters 18 and 19 on the topic of forgiveness, what we have received and how we are to then give it as well. And the children meet at 9:15 in the chapel. Everyone's welcome to join them in the first 15 minutes for the sing-along. Homer Carson's Victory Service, we announced it last week, but just a reminder, will be held here at the church on Saturday, September 2nd at 11 a.m. with a meal to follow. And then Pastor Waterstrat's Victory Service will be held here at the church on Monday, September 11th at 11 a.m. with a potluck to follow. Linda Haffel is coordinating the potluck. There are other multiple events coming up related to our church and school, making community connections as well as connecting one another. So please take some time to read through the weekly news as we'll be looking for volunteers and also, as we said with the cook-off, to put your chef skills, dust them off, and join the contest. Lord's blessings to you as you go on your way, and giving thanks for our God each and every day. Thank you.